Blog Talk Radio.
I feel like this all the time, trying to politically awaken people that they're being lied to, that there's an agenda. It's not left or right. It's, hey, there's mind control going on. The signal's broadcast 24 hours a day through all this media. Just become aware of it, and they'll say, there's nothing going on. And I want to say, put on these glasses or start chewing concrete.
They have taken the hearts and minds of our leaders. They have recruited the rich and the powerful. And they have blinded us to the truth.
The question is, do we all work for central bankers? That's what I want to address to our guest tonight.
Our impulses are being redirected. We are living in an artificially induced state of consciousness that resembles sleep.
An estimated 50 to 70 million Americans suffer from a sleep disorder or sleep deprivation.
Outside the limit of our sight, feeding off us, perched on top of us from birth to death, are our owners.
Latest census numbers prove the United States has the biggest gap between rich and poor compared to all westernized countries today.
Our projections show that by the year 2025, not only America, but the entire planet will be under the protection and the dominion of this power alliance. The gains have been substantial, both for ourselves and for you, the human power elite.
And for the first time in all of human history, mankind is politically awakened. That's a total new reality.
Councils of government, we must guard against the acquisition of unwarranted influence, whether sought or unsought, by the military-industrial complex.
In Dallas, Texas, three shots were fired at President Kennedy's motorcade in downtown Dallas. The first reports say that President Kennedy has been seriously wounded by this shooting.
It is a big idea, a new world order.
It was almost as if it were a planned implosion. It just pancaked.
Either you were with us, or you were with the terrorists.
But I also believe that a lot of gun owners would agree that AK-47s belong in the hands of soldiers, not in the hands of criminals.
Hey, how is everyone doing tonight? My name is Joseph Gibson. It's July 12th, 2015 on a Sunday evening, 8:30 p.m. And I thank those who are logged in tonight, those who are listening. If you have a question, like I said, I don't have a moderator in the chat room, so don't ask me a question in the chat room, please, because there are about three people in my chat room. I don't know what you see in your chat room if you're online on the internet. But if you have a question, you're to call 657-383-0616, okay? And you're to press 1. And when you're up, come up on the screen, on my screen, on my studio screen here, you press 1 and I'll see a question mark pop up, and then I'll try to do my best to get you through. Because I have a lot of callers on the line tonight. Sunday evenings are a busy, busy night. There are a few people that I did ask to particularly call in tonight. A few of them I don't see. I'm scanning through the numbers now. I've got about 15 numbers. I can handle 50 calls on the line, okay? So I have 15 callers on the line right now. I can see your number, so I know who's calling. Some numbers are unfamiliar, like I said, but if you want to come through, if you have a question about tonight's topic, then by all means, I'll put you through. I got one that wants to come through now, but I want to do the introduction first and explain what the show is about. So just hold on, and I'll put you through, okay? I seen where you pressed 1, so I see the question mark by your number. I got 17 people on the line right now, okay? So that's good. I can handle only 50. That's all they allow me to. Otherwise, I got to pay lots of money And then, you know, then I can get 200 people and then 300. But as many people as they want can log on. The chat room can hold. I've seen it hold on other Blogspot talk shows, 200-300 people. I mean, I don't know how, the bandwidth, you know, but I am a premium show. I do have a premium show, and this is in prime time, so I could see where, you know, they probably give you extra bandwidth to handle extra calls. I seen one the other night. He had 435 people in his chat room, you know, so that's pretty good. But tonight's show is, the, you know, it's family night. I ask a lot of my family members to call in, and I ask if there's anyone else out there who's having family problems or they want to connect with a family member. I'm willing to do that for you. I'll throw that out there. Hey, look, if you feel that you want to connect with a family member and you don't think you can or have the courage to, I'm willing to play the mediator here live on the air, call that family member for you and connect you with them. Now, we're not going to go and, you know, we're not going to put all your personal information out there, but you guys can go off and talk on your own. And I'll mute it so you can be in a private chat room by yourself. But I ask a lot of my family members to call in so that, because tonight is family night, and I try to get as many family members to come on as possible. And because in the past, we've had some really good shows where a lot of things were brought out in the open, where we discussed the issues of today that we face, you know, and especially we see, and the history we share together as being family. And we were able to bring a lot of information to a lot of listeners out there. We had a couple, I remember a few months ago, we had someone call in from Georgia. I mean, it brought a little debate and controversy to the show. That's when I was on the Enterprisement Media broadcast. I was a guest host on that that night. And, you know, we had the phones. They had so many people calling in, and the And really, there were so many. I think there was, like, they said 1,200 people trying to log in at once. And his line could handle 100 calls. Nathan in South Carolina, producer of the show. And I think he said he can handle 100 calls, and there was, like, 200 people waiting on hold. So that was a big show. I mean, when people were calling in, you could barely hear them. They're fading in and out. So, you know, I'd like to see a lot of my family, you know, come in and try to participate also. You know, I see a lot of people that I've asked have not shown up. They got what they wanted this week, so they're off. And there's one caller, he knows what I'm talking about. We'll talk about that tomorrow. But, you know, that's the problem. You know, family is so, you know, what is it with the family nowadays? You know, everyone wants. It's me, and it's all about me. You know, but then when that person passes away, there they are at the funeral home bawling their eyes out. Why? Why? You weren't going to see him tomorrow or her. You didn't spend any time with them when they were alive. Why are you sitting here crying, putting on a show? You know, I mean, it's pathetic. You know, you have your family here today. You should enjoy the family that you have, you know, your grandmothers, your grandfathers, you know, they're not in good health. You should try to help them out. But, you know, oh, I got to work in the morning. I'm too tired. I got to go to a softball game. That's where somebody gave me an excuse tonight. And he told me he was coming on tonight, but then he text messaged me at 7 o'clock. I got to go to a softball game. Oh, what, at 4 o'clock you didn't know you had the softball game? What, they just scheduled it just like that within an hour? Come on. It's all about me, isn't it? You should be ashamed of yourself. You really should. But, you know, I'm always willing to accept them, to come back on and try, you know, to participate. Or when I see them, I don't hold it against them. But I tell you what, I'm telling you, I like to say what I mean to their face. And that's why a lot of people don't like me, because I'll tell you like it is. I'm not going to lie and beat around the bush. People say, well, you shouldn't do that. You're offending them. Well, you know what? Too bad. You know, stop taking advantage of your family. You know, like your grand. You know, that's all people care about. All, you know what the main thing they want? Money. Money. It's all about me. I want your money. It's all people care about. And once they get it, they're gone. You know, I mean, it's sickening. And I'm putting that out there tonight because I got several family members listening tonight. And I feel that we should talk about these types of subjects. And it's not just our family, my family, that I've asked to come on tonight. It's others out there also. We as Americans are pathetic. You see these Asian families, these Indian families out there, they all stick together. They all live in one house together, or they buy houses together. They'll buy a three-family house. You know, the mother and father are on the first floor, the daughters are on the second, the uncles and cousins are on the third, you know, or they'll buy two, three houses on a block. You know, and they all hang out with each other. They'll go buy a business, a gas station. And they ain't hiring you. They're going to hire family, and that's it. And they all stick together. Not Americans. They're out. I got to do me, you know. It's about me and my kids. You don't care about me. Blah, blah. You know, it's all nonsense. You know, we should all, if we stuck together, the American family would be together today, and we would not see half of the things we see that are happening today in this country. I'm not saying it's going to solve all the problems, and I'm not here to say I'm perfect either, because when I was younger, I lived the same pathetic life. I did what I wanted to do, you know? I ripped off my own family members. I didn't care. I wanted to do what I wanted to do. But the point of it is I learned my lesson, you see? And there's other people out there who have not and will never learn their lesson. And you know one thing also, when I was younger, there's one thing, though. I always respected my older family members, the elderly in my family. My great-grandparents, I gave them much respect. And I learned. And when they told me things, I would listen. I remember my great-grandmother and my great-grandfather, they didn't have any problems controlling me when I was 3 and 4 years old. We didn't have iPhones and laptops back then in 1977 and 1976. I had a black and white TV with three stations. I remember watching Archie Bunker in a rocking chair. Happy as hell, I was sitting next to my great-grandmother. You know? We don't have that anymore today. Nowadays, kids, they got to be entertained, you know? They need to have cartoons on all the time. You know, they need to be playing with all these expensive toys. I want. And it's disgusting. And there's people out there tonight who are on the line, and when they grew up, they didn't have those things. And they understand what I'm talking about. But there's others who don't. And really, it's a shame. And so I'm going to go ahead and connect one of the callers now. I know who this is. This is my grandmother. I'm going to go ahead and put her on. Hopefully she connects right now. Are you on the air now?
Yes.
Hello?
Hello?
Yes, 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 Granny. This is Elizabeth Rondo from Wallingford, Connecticut. How you doing tonight?
Waiting to get on.
Well, I have to do my introduction. I have to explain what we're going to be talking about.
Okay.
You know, I mean, we usually talk about, when we get the family on, we usually try to address the same subject. I know you wouldn't be interested in the shows that I did during the week. Like, for instance, I did a show all week. I basically discussed the issue about the Confederate flag. You know, I called Walmart. I got the manager of Walmart on the phone, and we really had a big debate. So if anyone wants to go back and listen to that, that was a really good show. I got 101 hits on that just today. So that was a good show. But anyway, tonight we're talking about our family. And, you know, this is my grandmother, Elizabeth Rondo, from Wallingford, Connecticut. And what do you think about what I said in my introduction? What do you think, and my feelings and my expressions and what I said?
They're good.
Well, I mean, what do you see? How can not just our family, like I said, but how can we fix family values in our community or even within our own family? What do you suggest, being from an older generation, another generation that didn't have the toys we have today, you know?
I don't know what you're... What do you mean? How do I see it now?
Yeah. I mean, you have grandchildren. I'm one of your grandchildren, and you have other grandchildren. I'm not trying to put you on the spot, but... You know, you tell me things. What do you think we should do or we can do to try to better to make our lives easier. You know, you're not in good health. You need assistance. What do you think, in your opinion?
Well, just like you say, we got to help each other.
Yeah. And back when, tell me something, back when you were a child, you had a grandmother and a grandfather. How did you treat them growing up?
Like they should be treated.
Well, yeah. Well, you helped them, correct? You respected them,
oh, yes.
Right? They came first, right?
Yep.
Okay. And that's the point I'm trying to make. You know, we should put, you know, our feelings aside and take care of the older generation first. Because one day they're not going to be here, like I said, right?
Yep, that's right.
I mean, you know, I'm not trying to put you on the spot, but, you know, that's the problem we face today. You know, this younger generation, they don't have time for, you know, their elders. And that's a shame because, really, the younger people of today, they can learn a lot. You know, I learned a lot, Granny, from Granny and Papa, you know, and growing up. You know, I learned a lot of values, and, you know, like I was telling you, I was sitting in the rocking chair rocking as a 3 or 4 year old boy. I was happy enough just to be with him. I didn't have a laptop, you know.
Mm-hmm.
I had a black and white TV I was watching, you know. But today, we've got all kinds of entertainment. Flat screen TV.
Yeah, and Granny used to put you around in a clothes basket with wheels. When she would go out and hang her clothes.
And could you do that today with one of our grandchildren? They'd be climbing out. Jumping off the second floor porch.
Open the door and push you off the porch.
You know? I mean, and that's basically what I'm trying to get at here, you know? And I got someone else here who I'm going to connect right here. And this is also one of my family members. We're going to go ahead and connect them because, like I said, tonight is family night. And we'll go ahead and connect them. Okay, you're on. You can hear me?
Yes, I can hear you.
Hi, Deb.
Who are you?
I'm your mother, Debbie Lewis.
Yeah, I know, but you got to say your name for other people who don't know
you. Okay, I'm Debbie Lewis, and I live in Reedsville, North Carolina.
All right.
And you're my daughter.
Yes.
So we have two generations right here right now. We have two.
Actually, three generations.
Yes. So we have three generations of family on the line right now. For those who are not family who are listening, because we do have some people who are not family who are listening, because there's numbers that I don't recognize. So we have three generations right here, and I just expressed my opinion from my generation, even though, like I said, I was not good. But, you know, I express my opinion on viewing things the way I see it today. What do you think from your generation?
Okay, I was raised where I respected my grandparents and my parents. And no, I was not a perfect child. I was rebellious, just like you, which is typical. But
yeah.
When it comes to my mother, she needs to come first.
Atta right. Girl.
And I am sick and tired of people taking advantage of her. I'm sick and tired of people yelling at her. I am threatening her. I just do not go for that. I'm sorry. You do not do that to an elderly person. Regardless of whether she's my mother, any elderly person, treat them with respect. They're the ones
like
who shaped this country.
That's how they were here. Like I told you, though, you know, people, the younger generation, don't care anymore. You know, I mean, the generation now, we have another generation now. I guess I'm old enough to say there's another generation below me now. And they're 20 times worse than I was, you know?
Yeah. Oh, yes. Definitely. But, you know, you just seem families just are not close to where they just sort of went off their own, did their own thing. And the heck with everybody else, like you said. If your hand is out, you get what you want, and that's it.
Yeah, it's all about me, me, me. Their problems are more important than yours or anyone else's, right?
Yes, because I was taken advantage of, too. I mean, you know, we can all, it's going right down the line. Granny was taken advantage, I was taken advantage of, and it's just disgusting. You don't do that to your family members. You don't. Now, how can you say you love your mother and or your grandmother, and you turn around and do something like that.
Now, okay, well, let me just say this. Everyone makes mistakes, okay? So you make a mistake, but the thing is, like I was saying, you know, I learn from my mistakes, but what do you do about the people who have not learned about them? Learned from their mistakes. I mean, what do you do with them? Do you keep coddling them? Keep allowing
no.
them to screw? Well, you know, I mean, so where
no.
do you draw the line? You know,
see, that's just it. You know, like, my mom is very kind-hearted. She doesn't know how to say no. She doesn't know how to speak up. And at her age, she shouldn't be put in a position where she has to do that. They should be waiting on her hand and foot. They should be there. If I was closer to her, do you think I'd be sitting on my ass? No, I'd be over there. God, it's bad enough I only get to go up there once a year. And when I do, I try to do whatever I can for her. I try to spoil her because she's my mom. She spoiled me as a child in love and affection and trying to treat me right. Even with you and Joe, you know, when you were growing up, who put clothes on your back?
Yeah, no, it was my
granny.
My grandson.
That's right. Yeah. They saw to it. I couldn't afford it. They saw to it that you had it. They took you school clothes shopping and bought you all new school clothes for the first day of school. They took care of you.
Yeah. Yeah.
This is why we need to be taking care of her now. But unfortunately, not all six of my children believe that way.
But the thing of it is, though, is like you also run into a geographical area. You see, that's what I was trying to tell you. You know, you get these Asians over here and these Indians, you see, they don't, one family don't live in Connecticut and the other family lives in California. They come over here and they all live together and they take care of each other.
Right.
But you see,
right.
But
and that's
see,
just what happens, though. And Americans don't think that way.
And that's right.
And a lot
it
of it has
alienated.
To do with jobs. A lot of it has to do with jobs and financial, you know, wherever you can live financially. And that does play a big part. Unfortunately, that's the government.
No, I think what I think it is that when we're younger, like I told you, we make the mistakes. And we alienate our other family members, and they're like, screw it, you know, and they move away.
Yeah.
And then when we're older, we realize, you know, I wish I didn't do that. I wish I was still living up there with her, you know?
Right.
I mean, that's what I think. That's in my opinion, anyway. That's how I see it.
Yeah. Well, it is. It is, Joe. But the other thing is, my house, I couldn't have it up there. I couldn't afford it. I know I couldn't afford it.
You could afford it.
I couldn't.
No, I couldn't. What did I just say earlier? If we started in the very beginning. Yes, but if we all worked together and didn't keep our paychecks for ourselves and we weren't so greedy and selfish and we worked together and lived together, like I was telling you, one lives on the third floor, one lives on the second, one lives on the first. Well, if all three are paying the bills, how expensive could that house be?
Right.
You know?
Right.
You could afford it. And that's what I was trying to say.
Yeah. You could. We lived upstairs from Granny.
Yeah, we did. Saying, you know,
but the only problem is there wasn't enough of room with all the kids. I know times change, but there still wasn't enough of room. Circumstances change.
Who's got the noise in the background? I don't know who it is. You can't have any background noise because it'll knock out all the other callers. So wherever you can't have any whatsoever.
Well, put some other callers on. Yeah, put some other callers on so we can hear.
Well, I don't have anyone with any questions. They all want to listen, you know. I don't see anyone pressing one. I mean, I'll connect one and ask them if they want to come on. I see one now. Usually he comes on. And let's see. I'll tell you what. I know who I'll put on right now. I don't know if she wants to talk or not, but I'll go ahead and try to put her on. Okay, hey, you're on. Bridget, you're on. Can you talk? Bridget, can you talk? Okay, she can't talk.
Hello?
Can you talk? I put you on. Yes, can you talk?
I can try. Joe's going kind of crazy right now.
Okay. Well, I'll tell you what. What I'll do is you just press one when you can, okay? And I'll try one more. I'll try one more up here. Get his opinion. Tell me what he thinks. Hey, you're on. You got a question? You want to talk? Hello? Maybe not. Hello, you're on.
Hello there.
262. 262. Is that, who's this?
This is Michael.
Okay, Michael. Usually you come on anyway. Okay, help us out here. They want a third perspective. I got two people on the panel tonight. I was supposed to have Jason on tonight. Okay, but we know where he is. You know, he lucked out this week, so he don't need us this week. All right, but anyway, we'll go ahead. We'll talk about that another time. But anyway, Mike, what do you think about the topic tonight and what I brought up?
Well, Joe, I think you're right. You know, when we were growing up, you know, none of our parents or grandparents were doctors or lawyers or that type of profession. You know, just like your grandmother. You know, she made her own bread before, you know, there was a Walmart. You know? We don't do that anymore. If people nowadays have 1 to 2 days of food in their freezer, and that's it.
I know.
I have 3 freezers here on the farm, and they're chock full.
So if the grocery stores were to close, So if the grocery stores were to close tomorrow, you're okay for a couple months, right?
Well, quite a bit longer than that, yeah. But you know,
wow.
Yeah. I wouldn't be able to get, you know, potato chips, but I'd probably make my own. But you know what I'm saying?
Yeah. No, I understand what
you're
saying.
And when you were growing up, okay. You know, your mom and dad didn't have professional backgrounds behind them that, you know, they could make the amount of money, you know, it took to raise a family. So they just did the best they could. You know?
Mike, just I'm not gonna interrupt you, but today, in the world we live in today, I mean, we live in different times. You know, like you said, I remember about 6 or 7 shows ago, we talked about this. You know, you could sleep with your door unlocked. Today, you got to leave it bolted shut. You know, we live in different times, violent times, dangerous times. You know, the economy's not that good. You know, you can't go get a job at Ulbrich Steel for $30 an hour in 1978 like you did back then. You know, so there's no jobs out there. Where are you going to go work? At a grocery store for $8 an hour? You know?
That's it. You can't make the money you used to. And things have gone up, and you don't get the money that you used to be able to get. Before, when you got a raise, it was extra money for you. Now, when you get a raise, you're just trying to equal to what the economy is charging you.
Yeah. No, it's terrible. It's bad.
Yeah.
But
it is.
But what?
I mean, groceries are unbelievable. And no, I don't have the time. I wish I did to bake breads again, and I missed all that. But unfortunately, my lifestyle and society and the economic things have changed it.
Yeah.
Because I used to make homemade bread. I used to make homemade muffins. I used to do all that stuff.
You don't have the time anymore, right?
No, you don't. You have to work. I have to work.
And
to survive.
Well, let me stick to the topic here. Do you think that's dividing the family more and more today?
It is. It divides the family because I don't have the time I used to have. You know, I stayed at home until you children were older.
Yeah.
You know, when you were babies, I was at home. I took you to the park all the time. You know, I got to put you out in the backyard.
Until we were about, 12, 13, until the late 80s, I would say, you know?
Right. I was able to stay home. But nowadays, parents can't. I mean, I just do not understand how a father or a single mom for that respect can raise a family on $8 an hour. You can't.
Yeah, no, you can't. That's right. I mean, you know, it was like, for instance, Mike, he went out to Wisconsin because he lived his dream, you know, to live on a farm. And, you know, that's where, you know, his wife's family is. And, you know, we didn't grow up in a very, very tight, united family. So everyone basically did their own thing. And that's what I'm trying to get at.
No, I just remember being crushed when Michael and Melody moved away.
Yeah.
I missed them. because we yeah. were together all the time. Hey, you kids were there all the time, too. It was Dallas night. They came and watched Dallas at our house. And yeah. we'd have our apple pies, or we'd have something to eat. And we did that as a family night type thing. But unfortunately, all of us, we all scattered. I mean, look at Uncle Ernie, everybody. Everybody moved and did their own thing. I mean, Uncle Ernie had to move because he had to go take care of Mama and Papa in Florida. So there was yeah. another family member that we used to go over and be with all the time. Uncle Charlie
okay.
passed
okay.
away.
She, all right, we got
so, I mean, you know.
Okay, she can talk now, so hopefully she can get in on the conversation, too. I don't want too many people on the panel because everyone talks over everybody. All right, you're on. Can you hear me?
Hello.
Okay.
Hello.
Sorry about
tell
earlier.
Everyone else, tell, us, tell everyone else who you are, please.
Problem. My
okay.
name is Bridget. I'm from Reedsville, North Carolina.
Okay. And this is my wife, for anyone who doesn't know us, because everyone else does. But anyway, go ahead. What do you think about, you know, the things I brought up tonight?
Well, I agree. I think the reason that families are different is because we don't value the same things. I mean, people put their values in other things now. A lot of times they put their values in the wrong things. And then that's
yeah.
what divides families. And it divides
well, like
relationships.
What? But like
well,
what?
You know, people, they're more concerned about other things, you know. Because I know I never grew up with a close-knit family. And everybody seemed preoccupied with other things. And they seemed preoccupied with, well, even though we were family, they were all caught up in, I got to do this, I got to go there. Like you were talking earlier about, you know, a guest you wanted to have home, but they had something else to do.
Yeah.
So, you
yeah.
know, it's like,
you know, they got to go play softball.
Yeah.
It's more important, you know. More important than hanging out with your family, you know.
Yeah, I mean, I never really.
Go ahead.
I never really had that close sense of family when I was growing up, so I can speak on the other side. I can speak for the divided family, because mine was pretty divided. I mean, when we got together, it was like once a year the family would get together. And nobody really knew each other because we didn't interact during the year. And everybody, you know, they just, even then, seeing each other once a year, you know, we still didn't talk like I felt like we should talk. We didn't support each other the way I felt like we should support each other.
Well, it's like, for instance, I have a grandfather down in Florida, and I haven't seen him in, I don't know, 25 years, 20 years. I think if I went down there and I just knocked on his door, he wouldn't recognize me, you know? I mean, and because, well, see, he moved away because at that time when he moved away, the family was divided. Nobody was together, you know? I mean, he had his own reasons why he left, and, you know, he did what he had to do. But, you know, at that time, everyone was divided. Everybody was out for themselves at that time. Me. Well, hey, strong survived. And, you know, everyone did what they had to do. And, like, for instance, my grandfather, he moved to Florida. I got one grandfather in Florida. I think he's the last grandfather I have who's alive today. I have no more grandfathers.
No, you have a grandfather who's alive in New Mexico.
Okay, all right. Well, I don't know him. Let's put it that way.
No, you don't. That's just it. He remembers you, and he remembers Bridget. And it's sad
yeah.
because after you and Bridget were born, when Jason was born, that was it. I never saw him again. I did knock on his door. He did not know who I was.
See?
And that's pretty sad that my own father did not know who I was.
Yeah.
But yeah, I still don't hold the grudge because I did look for him. It took me 5 years to find him. I found him. I found, I have my sister Mary Beth, I have a sister Andy, and then I had three others that had passed away. So, I mean, I did get to talk to him, and of course now, you know, they want to see me and everything. But you know what? I made the choice that when my mom got sick, because I was planning a trip to New Mexico, my mother came first. My mom is the one who was there for me.
Yeah.
You know, I didn't have to go and knock on the door and her not know who I was.
Yeah, no, I agree.
I mean, you know, but I mean, he is your grandfather. He does remember you, because when I talked to him, he does remember you. I had to send pictures of everybody, the whole family and everything, because he was shocked to find out I had 6 kids. You know, and it's just, but still, there's not that closeness. Yeah, but there's not that closeness there, Joe.
I understand what you're saying.
Yeah, and I'm Bridget had a hard, and you're Bridget. She had a hard life. I know about her life. She had a very hard life, and her family wasn't close. And to me, I think that's why she just really is a doter on Joseph, your son.
Yeah.
And she probably will be very much of a doter on the next baby too, because that is her family. She has really no other family.
Oh, well, yes, my wife takes very good care of my child. I mean, that's her pal.
Yeah.
My son is her best friend.
Yeah.
Yes,
Joe, that's what I'm
saying. That's the reason I couldn't talk earlier. He was going crazy. I got to put him first.
Yeah.
But, you know, and that's her best friend, yeah. But, that you see, that's a bond that's going to carry on throughout her life. And, you see, we're not going to have what we had when we grew up. I'm going to tell you right now, her and I are not going to be divorced when my son is 13 years old. We've already talked about this, her and I. Okay?
Right.
My two little boys are going to get the best education. I don't care if I have to go out and work in 100-degree heat next year for the next 10 years, if that's what I have to do, because they're going to get the best education money can buy, and I'm going to do everything I can, because you know what? When I'm 65 years old, they're going to have to take care of me, and they will. Because I take care of them, you know, and that's the thing.
See, and that's what I'm saying. This is what I'm saying about Granny. Everybody, I mean, there are, Joe, it's not just you or I. There are people in the state who bothers with her. Does her son, once every 3 weeks, Mom? Is that? How many weeks it goes by before your other grandson stops over to see? Or if he comes and mows the grass, does he come in to check on you and say, gee, Granny, are you okay? Do you need anything? But didn't you wipe his ass plenty of times?
And
she took care of him.
She raised him. And that's the thing. And but that's where all the family should speak up and say something. Like I was telling you, I have an uncle out in Wisconsin, Michael Melby, and Michael knows, I call him faithfully as the best I can. Yes, we all get busy because he's way out there, but you know what? I always try to stay in contact with him.
And I follow them on Facebook. Thank God for Facebook. Because if I'm at work, I can pull it up on Facebook and I see what's going on with everybody.
And that's why I brought up the fact, too, that we also have, like, for instance, my grandfather in Florida. I haven't seen him in 20 to 25 years. And you know, because you want to know why? Because the family was all divided back during the days when we were just growing up and everyone scattered all over the place. So you know what? I can't take care of him now. I can't help him.
You were close to Barbara. I have to say that. We did. Barbara always thought of me as a daughter. Even after your father and I got a divorce, he always thought of me as a daughter. Always.
I
admire her for that, and she did. And we were together a lot when you children were little. Before she did go to New Hampshire. And when she went to New Hampshire, you were able to go up there and spend time with her.
And that's thanks to Michael and Melody, because they taught me how to live on the land. You know, I grew up on the farm, you know.
Right.
The
other thing, Joe, going to Michael and Melody's that summer, let me tell you, Auntie Helen and Uncle Charlie made that possible for you to go.
Exactly.
And that's
and
family.
If Granny hasn't fallen asleep, she's still listening.
I'm listening.
Okay, she remembers that because, you know what, and that's what I was trying to say. And that's what I said in the beginning. You know, all these people go to their funeral crying their eyes out. Where were you? Where were you when she needed you? Why are you sitting here crying? I mean, you know, you weren't going to come see her tomorrow. You weren't going to come see her next week. You know, you're nowhere to be found. You play the game real well, and that's what I'm trying to do, is we have to wake the fellow family members up and say, hey, you know, you only have so much time on this earth. You know, you need to really be with each other, even if you don't like certain people. You got to be with each other, because you know what? When it's too late, don't complain.
It's too late.
You can't
go back and change it. It's too late.
That's right. That's right.
It's too late.
That's
why I cherish the memories that I have, because I have great memories of Michael and Melody. I have great memories of Barbara. I can't say with Joe Sr. that I had great memories because he never liked me.
Well,
you know,
that's not true.
But I'm just
that's
saying, I don't think he ever liked me. But anyways, that doesn't make any difference because it's over and done with.
It doesn't make any difference. Well, the thing of it is, the problem is you say everyone has skeletons in their past. And
right.
And that's what I was trying to say is you've got to come clean like me. Like I told you, I came clean in the beginning of the show. Look, when I was a teenager, you know, I threw eggs at my grandfather's house, you know.
Yeah,
I mean,
yeah,
you know,
I remember
my
that.
Uncle's car. So you know what?
Yeah.
Hey, it doesn't matter. I came clean, and now we have the best of relationships. And that's the problem.
Right.
Because you want to know why? Because when they're dead and gone, you're going to say, I wish I would have found out, you know, why, you know, we never got along, you know, because you know
right.
what, it's too late.
Well, that's the main reason why I found my father, too, because I wanted to know why. Why didn't you see me for 35 years? Why didn't you know it was me who knocked on your door and asked where Mary Beth was?
Yeah.
You know, and
like
I'm looking right at him, and he didn't even know me.
Like Michael, for
you know.
Hey, Mike, you still on the line, Mike?
I'm still here.
Mike. It's, for instance, you have a very close relationship now with your dad, and you had one with your mom before she passed away, right?
That's correct.
What did you tell me, Mike? You call your dad every day, right?
Yeah, every day.
Every day. Well, why? You didn't do that when I was on the farm with you. Why do you do it today? Because you know.
Well, when I was on the farm, he had a wife, and he had a life, and he could basically, you know, do his own thing. Now he doesn't have a... Melody just said to me, even way back then, I used to call my father once a week. So.
Well, yeah, but I'm just saying, what I'm saying is you didn't have that intense relationship that you have now where, you know, hey, you know, time's running out, he's not going to be here maybe, you know, next week or the month, you know, next year, you don't know. So, you know, all you're trying to do is try to keep people together. And I know you, Mike, and I'm just trying to say that, you know, and you do that with Darren, too. And what do? I argue with you about Darren. Darren's a deadbeat. You know, what he did to his mom was wrong. And look, I grew up with Darren. We shared the best of times. We shared intimate times together. You know, out in the woods, hunting together.
I took care of Darren
you know?
A lot.
Yeah. I mean, we slept next to each other on your farm, Mike. But you know what? I got no respect for him because you want to know why? He needs to understand that or he's never going to learn. You know? He's not going to learn. And that's the problem because, like you said, Mike, one day he's not going to be here then. And it's a shame. And that's what I'm trying to say, you know. It's like with, you know, my father, and you got your father, I got my mother, I got my grandmother, and, you know, that's it. Once everybody's gone, they're gone. That's it. There's no turning back.
We're all
anymore.
Getting up there in age, too, Joe. We're all getting up there in age.
Oh, yeah. I mean,
and it's
like
going
Auntie
by
Helen.
Fast. Yeah.
Auntie Helen was my best friend, you know, and I knew all the problems her family had because she would confide in me. I'm not going to put them out there because that's personal.
Right.
But I knew everything. Trust me. I knew more than most people because Auntie Helen was my best friend, okay?
Yeah.
And that's why I felt. And you know, want to know why? I didn't take the drive up to go to her funeral because I should have been there in her dying days, and I wasn't. So I'm not going to go play the act like everyone else does. You know,
right.
I wasn't there when she was dying, and I should have been. But you know what? She knows. That, you know, she knows. And
we
that's
talked
all that
to her on the phone, Joe, remember?
That's right. But what I'm trying to say is she knows that, so I don't need to put an honest act in front of everyone else.
Right.
Okay,
right.
Because they can go there with the on the horses, like, you know, rescuing the day. Okay, like, yo, she loved me so much. Okay. Never came and helped her out. Who are you kidding? Come on.
I know.
Like, was
well,
look how dry,
yes.
Like a leech. You know?
Yeah.
So don't
I know.
Tell me that. So because Auntie Helen was one of my best friends, just like Granny was back in those days. So don't tell me what truth is, and that's the problem. And that's like why a lot of people don't want to talk to me, because that's why I'm here on this show, hosting a show like this, because I'll tell you like it is. And if you don't want to hear it, go away. I don't care. All I'm trying to do is bring people together. You know, if you want to come together and try to share some time together before it's too late, then here's your chance. And I asked a lot of other people to come on tonight. Let me tell you, a lot of family. I got more strangers on tonight than I got my own family. Isn't that sad?
Yeah.
That's sad.
Considering
really
you have
is.
All those siblings. Yeah, you have all those siblings and everything.
Yeah. Because they're out for themselves. No,
it is sad. It is sad. Yeah,
it really is sad
because, you know, you can't get it back, unfortunately. It just doesn't come back. I mean, look at the holidays. Granny and I talk about it all the time. All the time.
I got somebody
Our holidays
I got somebody,
were big family holidays.
That's like when I'm they've got a question. I don't want to be rude to them, so I'm going to go ahead and put them on. I got one person here,
okay.
And then I got another one, 772. So I'm going to do the one that's before him who's been holding for a little bit longer, so I'm going to put him on first. Go ahead. Can you hear me? How you doing? My name is Joseph Gibson tonight. Can you hear me? Hello.
Yes. Hello. Can you hear me?
Yes, I can hear you. How you doing? You got a question?
No.
Okay.
You told me to call in, so I called in.
Okay. All right. I was just making sure. That's all. I seen a question mark. I don't want to be rude.
No,
but,
that's
okay.
The Skype.
Oh, okay. All right. Well, I got Florida on the line here, so I'm going to go ahead and put him on. If he wants to come on, I'm going to give him a chance, too.
All right, well, I'll let you know the Skype is working.
It's working.
Yeah, but you got a lot of background noise.
I got a lot of people on the line, Jason, I really do. Hey, how you doing? This is Joe. How you doing? Is this Florida? Hello?
Well, yeah, it's me.
Hey, how you doing?
You know who this is, Joe?
Yes, I do. Now I do, because didn't you hear me call it out? Florida. Now I recognize your number.
Okay.
How you doing?
Not too bad. Well, first of all, I'd like to say hello to everybody that, up in Connecticut, and I guess your wife is there, too, so I'll say hello to her, too. And,
that's nice.
I'm listening to everything. Sometimes I like what you talk about. Other times, it's time to leave. But anyhow, some of these other things that you're talking about, it's really, really good. You're talking about ancient history. Everybody ought to find out, first of all, I'm Joe Gibson Sr., okay? I'm the old man of the bunch. I'm 84. I live in Sebastian, Florida. And, for the people that don't know me, I'll say they to you, hello, and nice talking to you all. And your wife there, I never talked to her before, but sounds very, very nice. One thing.
Well, thank you very much.
Okay, Joe, go ahead. You take it.
Hey, listen, yeah, I appreciate you checking in, and so does everyone else. I'll go ahead and mute you. And you go ahead and continue listening. But, hey, listen, I really appreciate you calling in and giving support to the show. I mean, and you see, I mentioned you, and I didn't know you were on until you clicked the one button because, you see, when I scroll down, I've got 20 callers on the line, and I can't read all those numbers that fast and listen to what everybody has to say. I'm not a genius here.
No, that's me.
Yeah, but anyway, I'll go ahead and mute them. I'll go ahead and mute him. If you got something else to say, by all means, click one. But, we do think about you. I want you to know that, like I mentioned, and I'm glad you're supporting the show. Thank you so much. All right, we got someone else on the line. How you doing? You there?
Me?
Yeah, I got you on next. You were next.
This?
And you were right after Florida, so I got you on now. Who's this?
This is Joe Gibson. I'm calling from Connecticut.
Oh,
I was on before.
Okay.
I was on before on another number. I called back on this number because my father came on.
Oh, okay. Okay. How you doing?
I'm doing wonderful. How are you?
Good. Well, what do you think about the subject that we're talking about tonight? I mean, I had to mute a few people because the background noise is just terrible.
The background noise was horrendous on the cell phone. That's why I got off of it and came on this line.
Yeah,
I came on this line because my father called in, and I just wanted to say hi to him, say hi to the old man, and I figured I'd get a better connection on this line, so that's why I did it.
Yeah, I muted him because, you know, he said what he had to say. I went ahead and muted him, but he's still on the line. I could see him. So he does hear you right now. So that's good. That's good. I'm going to try to get Mike back on because I know you like it when Mike's on. I'm going to try to get him on. And I know he's very happy at that. So, Mike, are you back on? Can you hear me?
Yeah, I'm here. And I'm glad you called in, Joe. It's nice that you called in and listened. And my father, too. I'm really happy that he's involved.
I was on the line before anybody else. I've been on the line the whole time, but like I said, I was on a different number.
Yeah. Hey, but listen, Mike, I know that makes you very happy that your dad called in, because you know what? I'm going to tell you right now, I know he's still listening. You always speak very highly of your dad, and you're like, I wish he would just call in once. Well, Mike, he got your wish. He checked in and wished everybody well.
I'm glad he did. I'm like Joe. You know, I'm kind of like the communicator of the family, you know? And
yeah.
I don't understand why people don't communicate. I just don't understand it. But, you know, that's the way the world goes.
Sometimes there's valid reasons.
Yeah, sometimes there's valid reasons, you know? But,
That does not have to do with personalities. There are other things in the way.
Yeah. But listen, we do have other people that are not in our family that are listening. So, you know, hey, listen, if you got some kind of question or somebody, you know, you want to talk to within your family that you haven't talked to in a long time and you kind of want me to be like a mediator or even, you know, a buffer between you, I'm more than happy to do it. You know, all you got to do is call up and, you know, the phone number is 657-383-0616. That's all you got to do is call in, press 1. I'll see a question mark next to your name. I mean, I keep scrolling down the names. I've got 28 people on the phone lines. I know the chat room isn't that filled, but I do have 28 people on the phone lines because that's what I advertise. I like to, you know, because I can't be a moderator in the chat room. I have to work the phone line. So it's kind of hard, you know, to do the chat room type, listen to what people have to say, and then, you know, press 1, click on them so they can get on, and then make sure, you know, we're sticking kind of to the subject because, you know, we'll get some people that'll call in and they'll start talking nuts, you know?
Hey, listen, just suck it up and get the job done.
Okay, all right. Go ahead. You want me to go ahead and mute your phone now? Are you done?
You don't need to mute my phone. That's not why I called in.
All right. Jason, you're on there, Jason. Listen, Jason,
yeah.
I expressed a lot of opinions about, you know, how we grew up and everything, and about how other families grow up, and what we can do to try to unify. Like, for instance, I gave an example, and I'm not trying to be prejudiced or sound silly, but like the Asians and the Mexicans and the Indians, they all live together. They all work together. You know,
You're
they
telling.
All chip in. Go ahead, Jason.
Can you hear me?
Yeah, I can hear you. Go ahead.
Okay. No, I just said they're tight. They stick together. I mean, they work together, they live together, and they sleep together. They, you know, whatever.
Hey, listen.
Yeah, but Jason, the whole thing is everybody, I mean, there's different personalities, and there's self-righteous people out there, unfortunately, in the family, and it causes a lot of friction. And sometimes me, everybody, you know, like I'm told that I'm very easygoing and I'm a pushover and all this other stuff. But I'll sit back because I just don't want the conflict. I'm too old for conflict.
That's why I keep to myself.
Yeah.
I don't
you know, and
it,
no, you don't. You don't. you don't bother anybody. And it's just like there's just a lot of conflict, and, you know, I'll just kind of let it go over my head and say, okay, that's, I can't stress about that stuff. And this is what I always try to tell Granny, please don't stress about this stuff. They don't need to be telling you anything. You don't need to be listening to their problems. Take care of yourself.
Oh, yeah. I mean, you know, that's everybody likes to put their problems on everybody else, too. That's the American
right.
way now. I mean, you know.
Right. But that's
everybody
the problem
wants...
with our family. That is a family issue.
That's the problem with every family now.
Can I give you an example?
Yeah.
Can I give you an example? I worked in West Haven, Connecticut for a moving company. We used to do evictions. Okay? Let me tell you something. I never evicted a Mexican family. Never. Okay?
No.
What's that tell you? They paid their bills.
Exactly.
And there
yeah.
were a lot of Mexicans.
They all
there were a lot
bills.
Of Mexicans in New Haven, Connecticut. A lot. You know? So, they paid their bills. That's right. Because you want to know why? They all stood together and they chipped in together. And that's just not how it is with Americans. You know?
Right.
We're greedy. The white and the blacks.
We are greedy.
Right. But the other thing, Joe, is too, with our family, what happened is a divorce happened. We went our separate ways. And it does. It affects, and do you know how many divorced families are out there? It affects all of them. I see it with a lot of the grandchildren coming from divorced homes.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, and one thing I have to say, Jason does do things with his children. And I hear flack from a better half about it, but I'll say, hey, he's doing something with the children.
I have to give Jason and Angel.
Yeah.
It's not me. It's not me. I just turned it down. And I got my mic muted on my headphones.
Somebody's
okay. But I'm just saying that, you know, I mean, I don't know. It's hard for me to explain. It's just like our families are so divided because of the divorce and everything. And yeah, there was a lot of bitterness and everything. But you know, now I just say, oh well, forget it. I'm not worried about it anymore.
Yeah,
I'm not.
But,
I can't
you know,
stress over it.
But listen, the point I'm trying to make is it's not just us, it's the American family, and it affects
right.
the community that we live in. And what I'm trying to say is that you see it in the minority neighborhoods, you see it, like I said, I worked for Crosby Moving and Trucking in West Haven, Connecticut, and we would do evictions. And let me tell you, it was always whites and blacks we would evict. Never Indians, never the Mexicans, never Asians, never. Never once. And I worked there for 3 years. We used to do 4 evictions a day. Okay? Never. Not once. And what's that tell you about the culture? What's that tell you?
Right.
You know?
It's the American way.
Yeah.
It's the
way
the American culture stinks.
It's the way for the past 30, 40 years kids are brought up from day one in school, too. I mean, they all has an impact on day-to-day life.
It does.
Yeah.
When you got to buy all your stuff for your kids at school nowadays, this is what they tell you to do. Okay, you get a list. You go buy all your stuff for your kids. You get a list. Why do they need 4 notepads? Why do they need this? When they bring it all to school, they dump it into a big pile just in case somebody can't afford a notebook or a pencil. We got to spread it amongst the other kids and share it. They're teaching the kids socialist and communism before they're ever even freaking kindergarten. You know,
that's
true. If their parents can't afford a notebook or pencils, maybe they should go do some community service for the school or something like that, and the school could donate them. We don't give
right,
shit away. You work for it. You don't give shit away.
Right. Well, the other thing, Jason. Oh, go ahead, Joe.
Yeah, I got married.
Well, I just want to say a few things before the show is over. Excuse me. Yeah, we were talking about Mexico and Mexicans. You know, my father's been in Mexico. I don't know if anyone else has, so he could come on and... He could maybe you could comment on how they live down there. But what I think is, you know, they come from a different way of life, and they come here, and they want something better, and they're willing to work for it, no matter what it is, because you guys are at the very very beginning of the me generation. It's all about me. I want a cell phone. I want an internet connection. I want a new car. And you know what? I'll plan 6 months for my next vacation, but I won't plan 2 days to get my next new job or something. So it's all about me. And in America today, it's all about being fair. You can't say crap anymore, especially to other ethnics out in the street or whatever races, exactly, because you just can't say that anymore. And it's the white people who are being brought down.
No, unless you're black. Yeah. If you're black, you could say the N-word. You could say cracker. You could call him a pinky. You could say whatever the hell you want to say, and it's all right. But you let us say nigger one time and see what happens.
Well, I don't want to go that far, Jason, but that's actually
the truth. It's not. It is the truth, and I'm sorry. I'm point-blank honest. I'm an honest person,
right.
and what I say offends somebody, tough shit. It's America.
And to straighten America out, like Joey's talking about all the time, we have to get back to being able to speak our mind, just like you just did.
Exactly. I didn't mean nothing by it. I just said it. That's all.
That's
right. Everybody is entitled
to
their own opinion and their own voice.
Hey, but for anyone who's listening, and I got 10 people that are not, I don't know who they are, but I'll tell you right now, Jason is not a racist. He has black friends, but he's just speaking his mind. And if that offends somebody, goodbye.
My
Americans should not be offended. We don't run away.
My wife's got black people in her family. One of my best friends growing up was black, so no, it's not racist, you know?
I live in Meriden, Connecticut, and I know plenty of black people. As a matter of fact, there's one that lives two doors up, and whenever I see him walking, I always pick him up and give him a ride, and he always stops and talks with me. And I'll tell you one thing. There's a difference between the people, between up north and down south. They're much nicer down there.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. I'm going to tell you right now, really, I'm in Greensboro all the time, and really, I don't see a racial problem in Greensboro. They always say, how you doing, you know, stuff like that. But I go up north, they're rude, disrespectful, you know, and to be honest with you, I feel confrontational, you know? I mean, but why is that? Why? You know, you don't understand what's going on here. I mean, I don't live up north anymore, but I'll tell you what. A lot of the minority communities up north are very disrespectful. It's just not the same down here as it is up there. And I see that. I do see that. I mean, what do you think, Jason?
I think it's embedded everywhere. But you just don't see it as much down south, I don't think. If you go to a lot of the younger kids down here, especially back when I was in school, There are some real intelligent ones, let me tell you. But, you know, maybe up north it's just more noticeable. But down south, the older generation, especially the blacks, they're a lot nicer. I mean, they're very respectful. And, you know, you show me respect, I show respect right back. But, if it's damn Jason, then you know what? It's damn you right back.
Yeah. But you see a lot of
that. Yeah, you have to treat people with respect, and you want to be treated with respect.
Yeah, I mean, you know, you... Right after 9/11, you know, I'm over there. I was over in the Middle East. You don't go into people looking like, oh, that guy's a Muslim. He's a bad person or something like that. You can't go in like that because most of them people over there would give you the shirt off their back.
Hey, that background noise, I just did a test on the screen. It's Granny. I had to mute her.
Call.
Granny, we can't hear you no more.
Now.
I had to mute you. It's gone, isn't it?
Yeah,
I had to mute her. I told her, it's her phone. She won't listen.
She's in the laundry room.
She won't listen. It's her phone. Her phone is no good.
Well, that's something else I wanted to bring up, too. You know, like my father, he's elderly. It's easier for him to pick a phone up and call in because he's not going to figure out the web interface.
No. And Joe didn't have it working last time, but this time I noticed he had it working because I Skyped in first. Just to see if he'd figure it out. And then when I Skyped in, it worked. And when I'm Skyping in, that gives me a set of headphones I can use. It gives me a $100 USB condenser microphone I can talk through, and it sounds a lot better.
That's what I need. I need to get the headset microphone. But like I said, I just started figuring out how to work this. And I muted my wife, too. I don't know if she's mad at me right now, so.
Well,
I thought it was her with the background noise. I had to blame her first.
When you mute someone, if they press 1 again, will something pop up on your screen so they know they want to talk? Oh.
Nope. No, I don't know that. I just mute them. And I said, hey, if I start hearing noises, guy, remember, I have 28 callers on the line, and I got 4 users in the chat box, so 5 users. So I don't know what you see, but, you know.
You're entitled to make mistakes, you know.
Yeah, I know, but I'm just saying that, you know, like, for instance, like I did a show on Wednesday with Alex, and we did the title of the show was "Is the Confederate Flag a Symbol of Hate?"
I actually listen.
Did you like it when I called Walmart?
I didn't hear the whole. I listened to the rewind of it on the blog talk.
You gotta listen to the other one that I did after that. I talked to the manager of Walmart.
Yeah,
my father
heard that.
Listened to it.
Yeah,
what do you think about that, huh? I put him on the spot big time, didn't
yeah,
I?
Yeah, you ought to let me do some calls. Well, I'll get him crying. But it's they're not very knowledgeable. First of all, then you know they notice how they always pass the buck to somebody.
You saw that, right?
Yeah, they always got to pass the buck to somebody. Nobody can stand up and say, no, we can't do it, or yes, I can. Then on the last call, you're like, just come on in and give us some money. We'll make any cake you want, you know? that's basically the guy said, hey, you want a big dildo on your cake? Just bring me some money, buddy. You know?
Yeah. But the thing of it is that, yeah, I want to do that in the future. See, if I'm going to do it professionally, I've got to do it right. I can call a guest, but, you see, I can't have people with, you know, background noise, wash machines and toilets flushing in the background.
You need multiple computers, then you need to interface all your sound into one port where you can control it all and do it, something like that. But
yep.
Joe.
Yeah.
I have a question for you. You talk about the New World Order in your blog section whenever you advertise. Do you do a show on the New World Order at all?
Yeah. And the problem is I got sidetracked. Like I said, I did a show with Alex. Are you working tomorrow evening?
Yeah, I do 16 hours tomorrow.
When's the next time you're up when you're off?
Let's see. This week is my busy work week. I don't have any time.
Well, call me and let me know. I'm on at 6 p.m. Monday through Thursday. Fridays I do... Fridays is up in the air. I don't know if I should do an evening show or a late night show at 11 p.m.
Because there is something you were talking about, and that's what I thought you were going to bring something up. I know you're talking about family values and everything, but today on the news, they were talking about the microchip.
Yeah.
About putting it in the prisoners, and then they also suggested putting it in children.
Yeah. Newborn children, yeah. Somebody's got some background noise there. Somebody's got something going on. But yeah, what we'll do it. Yeah, and really, it disrupts your train of thought. But anyway, listen. What I'll do is I'll do a show, but I want you to listen. I'll pull up a bunch of information on the microchips and the Verichip, and I'll talk about it and I'll advertise it. You know, because for instance, see this show. I have a lot of people listening, but you know what seems real weird. Is people won't listen live. They'll go back and log in afterwards and listen. I wonder why that is.
Most people do that. Most people do that. Most podcasts do that. You get more downloads than you do actual callers.
Yeah. Hey,
isn't
Joe,
that weird?
The other day when you was talking about the rebel flag and everything, I heard the Confederate battle flag. You know, I heard Alex say that I logged in for a few minutes and listened, but I had to go. Alex said it was a sign of racism. In middle school, and I typed in the chat. I don't know if anybody read the chat room or not, but I had to go. I didn't have time to log in. But you know, the South actually was going to free the slaves first until Lincoln got word of it, and then Lincoln did it purely for popularity. And what most people don't know is that most people that were slaves even after Lincoln freed them still remain slaves in all the states that the Union took over and won. The slaves remain slaves, and 50% of the blacks in the Union remain slaves. It wasn't until so many years later when he finally did the Emancipation Proclamation thing, you know, whatever, and that they actually became free.
Well, I read that. What I did was I pulled a lot of stuff up on the Confederate flag, and I read. I didn't want to read the whole darn book, but I read the chapter that dealt with the designing of the Confederate flag and why it was designed. And if you go back and listen to that, that's what I talked about that day. And I got 121 hits on that show afterwards. Only 3 people listened, but 121 people logged in afterwards and listened. That's what freaks me out. I can't figure it out. You know, why wouldn't you want to come in and voice your opinion?
100 hits were from the NSA and 21 were from the White House.
Yeah, they're coming to get me. I'm real afraid. But anyway, I got Bridget back on. If she wants to say something before the end of the night, I didn't want to be rude to her.
Yeah, I got to go, guys, too. So let me say goodnight to everybody.
Yeah. All right.
Good
see
night.
You later.
Jay.
Good night.
Good night, Jay.
All right.
Good night.
Yeah, I got to start wrapping it up anyway. She must not. I'll give Granny one more shot.
Yeah, are you still on the Thursday night?
I'm still here.
Go ahead. It just shows me Jason dropped. Okay. All right. Do you want to say something real quick while everyone's listening?
Well, basically, I was just going to say that I think if families would get back to making each other a priority, it would help. Because when you don't make somebody a priority, they can tell, and then they don't want to make you a priority.
I understand what you're saying, Bridget.
Yeah,
I know as far as, my parents, I never talked to them. They don't know what I'm doing. They don't know where I'm at.
I was listening to Joe.
They know where you're at, Brett.
Granny, you're back on the air live. Granny, what do you want to say?
I'm going to turn it off already.
Granny, are you still there? All right. She hung up. She's gone.
I think she's got Savvy over there too.
I think so. Who knows? Yeah. Savannah was supposed to listen, but she said she had to go to sleep. But I guess she didn't. So.
She must have
listened. But anyway. All right. Well, Mike, are you still on the line, Mike?
Yeah, I'm still here.
Mike's still here.
You want to
Mike.
Say goodbye to everybody? You want to say goodbye
Happy
to everybody?
Happy birthday, Melody.
Yes. Happy birthday to my Aunt Melody out in Wisconsin. It was yesterday, July 11th. She's probably 25 years old now.
I sent you a card.
Thank you very much, everybody.
Yeah, I sent you a card on the computer. Did you get it?
Yeah.
Yes, I did.
Okay,
oh, my
God.
Yeah, I've been doing computers longer than anybody, and I don't even know how to do that.
Michael
hey,
does
Melody,
for me.
Melody, what are you, 25 years old now?
Yeah, 25 and holding.
Well, you look like you're 25. You look like, when I saw you a couple years ago, you looked like you were 25. But listen, how about next Sunday?
And
we'll
your
do,
dogs
like
are gorgeous.
Different...
Your dogs are gorgeous. I love the pictures of them.
Oh, thank you.
But anyway, listen, I got to start getting ready here. How about next Sunday we talk about a different topic? Am I going to get you guys on or not? We're going to be here?
Yeah,
we're
I'll be here.
Will. Okay.
Yep.
Can't commit to anything. You could be dead by then, but I'll try.
All right, very good. All right, I try. Hey, listen, I told Karen to listen, but obviously she didn't listen. I don't see her number on here.
Karen? So, Carrie.
Yeah, I asked her. Karen and Carrie, actually.
Karen doesn't know how to work a computer. She's got an email account, but she doesn't know how to use it.
All right, well, anyway.
And trust me, she's not going to call in either, so.
All right. Well, everyone's starting to hang up now, so we'll go ahead and wrap it up.
Okay.
I'll see you guys next week. I'll see you guys next week.
And,
right?
Joe, we'll talk about when you're going to do the New World Order thing, too, so we can talk about those,
yeah,
too.
Yeah, let me know. We'll talk about it. All right?
Yeah, because that really blew my mind. I said, see, Joe was right.
Yeah, I know.
Because it was on news, too. Okay. You take care.
You
everybody
later.
Take care.
Goodbye, everybody.
Bye.
In the councils of government, we must guard against the acquisition of unwarranted influence, whether sought or unsought, by the military-industrial complex.
In Dallas, Texas, three shots were fired at President Kennedy's motorcade in downtown Dallas. The first reports say that President Kennedy has been seriously wounded by this shooting.
It is a big idea, a new world order.
It was almost as if it were a planned implosion. It just pancaked.
Either you were with us, or you were with the terrorists.
But I also believe that a lot of gun owners would agree that AK-47s belong in the hands of soldiers, not in the hands of criminals.
I feel like this all the time trying to politically awaken people that they're being lied to, that there's an agenda. It's not left or right. It's, hey, there's mind control going on. The signals broadcast 24 hours a day through all this media. Just become aware of it, and they'll say, there's nothing going on. And I want to say, put on these glasses or start chewing concrete.
have taken the hearts and minds of our leaders. They have recruited the rich and the powerful, and they have blinded us to the truth.
The question is, do we all work for central bankers? That's what I want to address to our guest tonight.
Our impulses are being redirected. We are living in an artificially induced state of consciousness that resembles sleep.
An estimated 50 to 70 million Americans suffer from a sleep disorder or sleep deprivation.
Outside the limit of our sight, feeding off us, perched on top of us from birth to death, are our owners.
Latest census numbers prove the United States has the biggest gap between rich and poor compared to all westernized countries today.
Our projections show that by the year 2025, not only America, but the entire planet will be under the protection and the dominion of this power alliance. The gains have been substantial, both for ourselves and for you, the human power elite.
And for the first time in all of human history, mankind is politically